What's going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday. It's June 22nd. This is the People of Packaging podcast, and we've got another fire episode, this time with the intergalactic ambassador to the printerverse, Deborah Korn. I can't wait for you to hear this conversation. I was able to be on her podcast, which I highly recommend that you check out. We get to talk about Project Peacock and all the work that she's doing for printers and for printed packaging companies throughout the world. It's really quite incredible. You don't want to miss it. A huge special thanks to Retail Aware for their support of the podcast. Retail Aware brings you in-store shopper behavior data. They help brands, retailers, and their partners track physical activity around products at the shelf level. There's going to be a link in the show notes. You can click it, schedule a meeting, get a demo of what they're doing. Data is king, and especially understanding how are your products, how is your packaging performing in the store, in the retail environment. You get that data at your fingertips right now to make better decisions, to know your products, and to know your shoppers. You can go to retailaware.com or click the link to schedule a demo. Make sure you go and do that today. Now, without further ado, let's hear from the Intergalactic Ambassador, Deborah Korn. Everybody, it's time. It has happened. The worlds have collided, and I get to interview the one and only, the Intergalactic Ambassador to the Printerverse. If you don't know Deb, you're about to get to know Deb. Deb or Deborah? I don't.
Either is fine.
I don't want to assume that the shortened name, because some people are like, you know, it's Timothy. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to. So Deborah?
Yeah, Deborah or Deb works. Debbie, okay. It reminds me of myself in, you know, with pigtails as a child. So I try to avoid that one.
All right, we'll go with Deborah. I'm joined by Deborah Korn on the People of Packaging podcast. Deborah, you're going to do a much better job of kind of introducing who you are. And we were talking about pre-call when you host podcasts, and you certainly host a podcast, and we're going to dive into that. When you host them, you don't get interviewed a lot. And so you probably don't get a chance to really talk about who you are and what you do. So I'm excited to be on this side and allow you to, you know, spread your peacock feathers and share about all that you're doing, because you're doing great work in the printing and packaging industry. And I'm just elated that you'd be on. So thanks for joining us. And why don't you give the packaging audience a little glimpse into who is the Intergalactic Ambassador to the Printerverse, Deborah Korn.
First of all, Adam, thank you so much for having me. I am an avid listener of your show. That's actually how we connected to begin with. And I really do appreciate this opportunity to also, you know, speak with your audience, because you're right, as a podcast host, you know, you interject your stories when it's possible, but the goal is to make the other person shine. So, you know, I guess it's my chance, and I will definitely take it.
It's your turn to shine. Let's do it.
Yay. As you mentioned, I am the self-proclaimed Intergalactic Ambassador to the Printerverse. I started my career in advertising agencies. I was a print production, started off in traffic, worked my way up to the director of production, lost my job, opened up a LinkedIn group, turned that into a website. And what I like to say I do is provide printspiration and resources to print and marketing professionals through my website, printmediacenter.com. And then I also am involved in a lot of community initiatives and community building around topics that are important to the industry and around topics that are important to the future of the industry as well. I do that through podcasts. I do that through online education, through in-person events. Can't wait to get back to those. Mm-hmm. I work with companies to help them strategically develop successful content, sales, marketing, relationships with customers. I always say I'm not in the sales business. I'm in the relationship business. If you can turn that into a sale, which I define as when a need and a relationship meet, fantastic. But I focus on the relationship part. So I have my fingers in a lot of pies. But ultimately, it all comes back to, you know, helping people do the best they can with the tools that are available to them and, you know, staying on track with their messaging and their marketing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And there's obviously there's a bunch of different places that we can go. I think we've it's funny because I think we've sort of traveled parallel paths without knowing one another until probably what, a year ago ish. When we started,
it was 2019. Well, it's so odd because like 2020 is just like a gap year. It's like it never happened. I actually believe it was 2019 we met.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, anything there's like BC time is like before COVID.
Exactly.
I don't really have much recollection of it. But yeah, it was a really fast, slow year. But whenever it was, it seems like it was fairly recent. And it's interesting that we had never really connected because you and I both share, we'll call it common values when it comes to how do we use current marketing platforms to serve and elevate the industry, not just our own personal interests, right? And where you were primarily in printing and I was in packaging, of course, they merge fairly easily, right? The printing and packaging worlds. Not all packaging is printed and not all printing is packaging, obviously, but there's a lot of printed packaging.
Yes. I think ultimately I would say that I'm in the smaller run digital folding carton corrugated realm and not in the actual packaging realm. You know, like I don't really, you know, speak to the people who put cereal in boxes, you know.
Yeah,
but if they want to put you know, candles in boxes or, you know, things like that. I guess you know, more of the shift that went on in the commercial side of the industry to get into what they refer to as packaging. Mm-hmm. But after being to Drupa and seeing those actual packaging presses and being to like a real packaging printer, I just remember standing there going, oh, that's why these worlds don't exactly come together. They're in this world of robots and automation and, you know, food safety and all and injection molding and all these things that, you know, the commercial world doesn't really touch. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think the similarities are that besides being a protection device, it's also a communications device. Mm-hmm. And that's where the overlap happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there still is a shift for a lot of these commercial printers to say, well, commercial printing for marketing purposes and direct mail kind of ebbs and flows. I'm of the personal belief that direct mail, similar to, you know, like I have a record player now in my office and I enjoy listening to records, even though I can listen to almost anything I want through a streaming service. I really enjoy the experience. I do think that some of these older marketing strategies like direct mail for commercial printers are probably going to, if they're not already seeing a small kind of recovery and renaissance. However, I know of quite a few commercial printers who were like, we need to get into packaging because packaging tends to be a lot more predictable. You know, you're not going to experience these wild swings in marketing that a lot of them have. And I think that's been with mixed reviews. Would you say that some of them get into it and they're like, oh, this is way harder than we thought.
I mean, 100%. You know, it's one thing to buy a piece of technology. It's another thing to create a business around it and to create a service around it and to create a supply chain around it, you know, which might be completely different. And I agree with you, you know, if we buy it, they will come is probably not a great strategy with $1 million or $2 million piece of equipment. Deciding whether or not you want to get into quote unquote packaging, you know, and that's why I say quote unquote packaging, because, you know, again, there's consumer packaging and then there's, you know, the packaging that commercial printers can can manage, you know, mm-hmm. and that could be something like, it could be a subscription box. That's mm-hmm. totally manageable. It could be, you know, like I mentioned, going to the farmer's market and seeing that there are people there who are producing things that, may have an opportunity for their to be nicer branding. You know, it doesn't need to be in a baggy twist tie thing or whatever. You know, we can come up with some affordable solutions. You know, even as a protection device, there is certainly enough of the wide format machines that mm-hmm. can take thicker substrates, and you can use those cutting tools to cut out packaging. So I think that we MacGyver it more on my end, although there are technologies from, you know, printing companies out there that you can be a small printer, smaller size printer and print pouches and print the other things, but who are going to be your clients now?
Yeah.
In my space, you know, the lowest hanging fruit there is the cannabis market. Mm-hmm. There are, if you can get into some of these dispensaries, you know, that is the right volume, that is the right size, that is the right stuff that they're looking for. You know, again, knocking on, Nabisco's door, maybe not going to work out so much for you. But, you know, again, talking to, you know, there's a lot of retail recovery going on right now, a great time for rebranding. People definitely are trying to save on money, you know, just look at a restaurant or something like that, you know, and what are they putting their takeaway food in? You know, that's a perfect opportunity for a small folding carton packaging. It is packaging, right?
Yep. And even like short run labels to go on, you know, standard things and stuff like that. Right. Yeah.
I mean, people are still giving, you know, things in plastic bags, and you know, and I really believe the one and done is over now, and the millennials and certainly the Gen Zers are going to push sustainability through the roof, and you know, it's a great time to get into paper-based anything.
Yeah for sure. And you know, you mentioned something, and I kind of want to pivot just slightly because I want to cover this. I think it's important. You mentioned if it doesn't, you know, it doesn't just matter if you buy the technology, it's how you use it. And I think that there's a lot of people that think, well, all I have to do is start a podcast, or all I have to do is start a website, or all I have to do is have a LinkedIn profile and make a few posts or whatever it might be. It's like the technology is the same, but how have you taken technology? Because you don't own like a printing shop, right? Like you don't own printing presses. You own media and media assets, I guess would be a mm-hmm. way of putting it. And you were really, you know, you are the intergalactic ambassador, meaning you were the first person to say, I think there's something out here, whether on purpose or accidentally. And I want to hear the story about how you decided to start a podcast. But you're out there and you put yourself out there, and I'm sure it's been a little lonely to be out there, to be honest. And now I think we're starting to see more and more people say, oh yeah, I think there are things out here. So what was that journey like for you to, you know, you kind of mentioned a little bit that you were unemployed. And so you started this thing, and then this thing turned into this, and this, has it just mm-hmm. kind of been following these paths, or what was that like to all of a sudden find yourself with, you know, arguably the most popular podcast in the printing industry, just, you know, how did that occur? I still have a few gaps that I'd like to hear those stories.
Okay. You know, I think intention and motivation are really important. And you mentioned that before, you know, if you're only out for yourself, then I think that's going to shine through. And, you know, to your point, I don't own equipment. I'm not a printer. I'm not trying to sell anybody anything. But what I was and still have the mindset of is a print customer. And I was finding myself on the end of these conversations with printers. And I'm like, oh my God, you just bought a new press and you're basically telling me this fits here. And then this turns here and this runs here. And then it goes this fast. And I'm like looking at you with my eyes glazed over going, my God, I don't care how that thing works. Just show me what I can do with it. Show me, you know, show me what is possible. Mm. And those conversations were just not being had. There was this sort of knowledge gap that was missing from I sell a press, I buy a press, and now I'm going to regurgitate those reasons why I bought the press to the people I want to use it. And it really didn't work. So I sort of, you know, came out of the who's going to care anything about what I have to say, which did, you know, take a while to get over, everybody out there. So don't think I say it lightly, but what I realized was that if I authentically just spoke about what I truly believed and what I truly felt and what I knew, and I didn't try to pretend I knew other things or go into some technology lane that I mean, I don't talk about it. It's so funny. You know, I say to people, I've been doing this for 12 years. At any point, I could have found out how a press works, but I still don't. Because I don't care. It is not an insult. It is really important for everyone to hear what I'm saying and, you know, focus on applications, focus on business results that can be generated with this piece of technology. So knowing I had worked on that, my personal brand for many years, and I was, used to do this thing called the Printiverse at a trade show called Graph Expo. And it was basically, you know, I put on free education and I had all the manufacturers in there up on panels, talking honestly with people. I wasn't there to help them push forward their corporate messaging. I was there to help everyone understand the vision of this company. If regular people out there, which I consider myself, you know, part of the people, were going to invest $2 million in a press, you know, what was going on with this company? So one day I was in my house and I was watching something on my YouTube channel and I walked away and I was, you know, I could kind of hear something going on in the background and I'm like, wow, that's a really interesting conversation about printing. What is that? You know? And I walked into my office and I was like, oh my God, it's me and these people on these panels. And I was like, okay, you don't have to watch it because I had live streams. So I had recorded videos of all the thing. I'm like, oh, wait a second. These are just as valuable listening to them. I don't really need to see what these people look like or what I look like. And I'm like, I wonder if I can make this a podcast. And in 2018, I launched Podcast from the Printiverse. And there's over 400 episodes now. I just checked this morning and there's like 135,000 downloads in 136 countries. And, you know, it makes me really happy, but that's sort of how it all came about. And I have different, it kind of like it outgrew my original intention, you know, because more people wanted to be involved. And then I wanted to be able to segment the programs so I could have certain guests and talk about certain things. So, you know, now I have, podcast is the Printiverse, is like what you would search for on your podcast app or your player. Yeah. And then in there are different like series of programs that have their own stream of podcasts.
Yeah. And have you found, I have been just blown away by podcasting. And when I tell people who ask me about it, I'm like, you literally need your cell phone. That's all you need. There's free apps. You can create a podcast. You can upload it for free. It's not hard to start a podcast, just like it's not hard to start a LinkedIn profile or it's not hard to start a LinkedIn group. That's all easy. The hard part is having the discipline, the desire, and the dedication to keep producing it and to have it. This part wasn't as hard for me, but I can see where if somebody came into it with selfish motivations to have it always be about serving either, you know, an industry or serving an audience and providing value and not being up there and being like, hey, I'm Deborah Korn. I'm the Intergalactic Ambassador to the Printiverse. Here's 15 reasons why I'm awesome. But I'm going to code those reasons in some kind of an interview. Those podcasts don't ever work because nobody wants to listen to a whole bunch of marketing pitches. We get them. We're inundated with them all the time, right? And it's almost like the podcast world is a place where we can go and relax and listen at our own leisure and learn about cool stuff, right? That's what that's why I listen to podcasts, whether mm-hmm. it's religion and philosophy or sports or printing or packaging or business or cryptocurrency or blockchain. Like it's this great treasure trove of information and it's all free. It's fantastic. So, kudos to you. 400 episodes is not easy at all.
It's out of control. It really is. I think I've recorded maybe 6 or 7 podcasts this week alone.
Yeah, that is. But do you find it though, that while you say it's out of control, the more that I do podcasting, honestly, the more I enjoy it. And the more people I find, the mm-hmm. more that now people are, I don't have to go out and search for people anymore. Mm-hmm. I just start getting requests, say, can so-and-so be on it, so-and-so be on it. The amount of people who think that they have to pay me to be on the podcast is surprising. They're like, well, how much does this cost me? And I'm like, 40 minutes of your time, whatever that's worth. But I'm not asking you as a person to give me money to be on my podcast. So anyway, I just find it to be fascinating. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't get to talk to a lot of other podcasts. So it's.
Just to be clear, I do monetize some of my podcasts. They are paid for by, the bigger corporations, the people who are using it as a marketing channel. And that is the role I serve for the industry. But yep. I would also say this, in a lot of ways, I feel like I'm that actor who does those blockbuster movies so that they can do those indie movies where they make no money.
Yeah.
And of all of the podcasts that are sponsored or supported in some way, I really use that money to do all of the other episodes that I don't charge people, that I want these smaller startup companies to have an opportunity to tell people that they're out there. And that's really all that I do. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's why I have a nice audience mm-hmm. for them, because I am not trying to shove products down people's throats. I'm just trying to say, this is out here. This is the vision of the company. This is what how they say it can help your business. And if you think that that's right for you, here's someone you can talk to.
Right.
And leave that entire decision on the listener's end. And of course, I'll ask follow-up questions, answer follow-up questions if I'm asked them on social media or help people connect. But I think that it's really, to your point, last year was really interesting for me, because I have to say, in one sense, I was like, okay, all my work online is about to pay off, because now the whole world is coming online and all roads lead to me, right?
Yep.
Big mistake thinking that. Because what happened? Everyone was like, well, I can do it myself. And to your point, while I don't suggest people record podcasts on their phones or anything like that, it is totally possible. Mm-hmm. It is completely possible. But the problem with that, which is something else you mentioned that I want to echo, who wants to hear a company talking about themselves?
Right.
Nobody. And it's very hard to disguise that unless you really are, for example, you're a printer and you only have designers on talking about design, and maybe you put one commercial for your print shop in the middle of it. But the minute that printer interjects themselves and says, by the way, we can help you do that, or anything like that, it changes the meaning of the podcast. So, if it's infotainment, that's mm-hmm. one thing. If it's a sales pitch, it's another thing. So just because you have a microphone or just because you have a social media account doesn't mean you're a marketing person, doesn't mean you're a person who can actually carry on a conversation in a way that is conducive to this medium. I know plenty of people who write in a way that I ask them to edit everything I'm looking at, but they cannot be on a podcast. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, you cannot just answer like with 3 words. Like, no, you need to stretch it, and you need to provide information that is beneficial to the listeners as your primary goal, not what's beneficial to yourself.
Yeah. I completely, you know, you talked a little bit about how millennial and Gen Z generations by and large, and of course we are overgeneralizing when we say these things, right? There are like, I think I'm technically a millennial, but I'm also—
Are you under 40?
So I am 40. So I'm like right on the line.
You're okay. I'll count you as millennial.
I think I heard Xennial was the phrase that I heard. Like I have like Gen X tendencies, but then I also have millennial things going on. I don't, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. I'm me. All right, everybody. Yeah. That's who I am. But in when you talk about sustainability being something, I also think that authenticity and transparency are two other areas that are tied into sustainability that people are going to want. And so you will be sniffed out and publicly blasted if they find out that all you are about is yourself and your bank account and your EBITDA and all of that stuff. If that's all you're doing is you're secretly trying to serve, but you're really not serving. You are only serving for the end goal, which is your own money.
Yeah.
That can happen. That will, in all likelihood, you know, this is all based on a lot of servant leadership principles that are millennia old, but you will in all likelihood be more successful. But if that is your end goal, it's a weird thing. I don't think you're going to accomplish it, especially as millennial and Gen Z B2B buyers and B2B decision makers are starting to make up the majority of B2B decisions, whether it's on commercial print or printed packaging or regular packaging or whatever it might be. Finding ways to be authentic and transparent and sustainable are, it's almost like it's going to become table scraps here pretty soon.
Yeah. I mean, everything you just described is self-serving, not selfless. And there are, especially since last year, a lot of options. If we just look in the printing space alone, all of a sudden there's all these podcasts out there, and I champion them. I applaud people for doing them. I don't, feel threatened by them, but I have to say in the same sense, some of the people that used to actually support my podcasts are like, well, you know, we did it. We had a contract last year, but we're actually doing it ourselves this year. It's not great for my business, but I'm not like, well, you're never going to make that happen or anything like that. I mean, they've got to do them. But I have to tell you that even some of those people come back to me and they're like, can we, you know, we want to do some more work with you. And then I'll help them promote their podcast through my podcast. Mm. So I still think there's ways to work with people. But at the end of the day, you're right. I don't even make it through like the first 15 minutes. And I'm like, oh my God, this podcast is all about this company. It's not really a podcast. It is just their about us on their website in an audio form.
Right.
It is like, it's not what's in it for them, but it's what's in it for me. And even if it's about them, then it has to be what's in it for me working with them. But if they don't make it about the audience, I just don't think that, you know, those things are going to be around very long. It crowds the space for people like you and I who do this, authentically or from a different place, coming from it. I mean, full disclosure, you work at a company, so your podcasts say sometimes this episode is sponsored by Fortis, but you're not talking about Fortis in those podcasts. You're talking about the subject and your company is championing that space. And that is really how it should be done authentically.
So let's hang out there for a second. And maybe this will be kind of our last point, because I think this is really crucial what you just touched on, which is the combination of corporate marketing, corporate branding, with now the emergence, and I would even say it has emerged, of personal branding. Mm-hmm. And for, especially for industries that are, we'll call them more old school and traditional, like printing and packaging, manufacturing and printing. We've been around since the 1400s, packaging's been around forever, like going all the way back to like ancient Egyptians and Mayans, where we, you know, you would find like clay and stuff like that. So these are very, very old industries. And so how do you encourage companies and people who are wanting to build a personal brand to, I don't want to say coexist, but to be mutually beneficial to one another? Is that a question that comes up with for you a lot? Because you are a personal brand. You are a personal brand, right? Mm-hmm. You have succeeded in that, and you work with very large printing companies, printing manufacturers, and you help them out, I'm sure, on some level. So are you having those conversations? Or if you're not, maybe even think through what would be some suggestions you would give to a person listening to this who is like, I'm a press operator and I really believe in the power of personal branding. Take like the guy, the guy who was mixing inks for Sherwin-Williams and coming up with, did you see this story? Yeah, this is a while ago. So I'll just cue you in here real quick. So there was this dude who was like a paint mixer at, I think it was Sherwin-Williams. And he would go on TikTok and he would show all these cool ways.
I did. And then Sherwin-Williams told him to get off TikTok, right?
They said, you can't do that. Yeah. You can't do this. And he had millions of followers on TikTok.
I do remember this.
And he went and worked for a small paint company in Florida. And I was like, oh, that small paint company got it.
Yeah.
And I had people, like, I posted a story and people were like, well, he didn't follow the rules. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. But if they do it for him, then they had to do it for everyone. And I'm like, yeah, but there are exceptions. There are ways to navigate and be malleable. I would imagine they didn't have to fire the guy, right? Yeah. Like, that's crazy. So, you know, for the paint mixer, who's like, I really value, like, I want to build a personal brand on TikTok or LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram, right, whatever it is. What would be some advice that you would give to them and also the companies that they would work for?
First of all, if you're a company and you want to have employee, let's say, spokespeople or personalities, you know, foster that, you know, put out an open call. Hey, we want to start a podcast. Who's interested in, helping us create some programming around what we do and how we help our customers. Sherwin-Williams is a corporation. So, you know, we got to put that to the side because they're always going to have 19 floors of lawyers that you have to deal with and, you know, whatever. Sure. I mean, on the same sense, if this gentleman with the TikTok just didn't mention the brand of paint, he could still be doing it right now. So going back to this press operator or somebody else who's a person, even if you work at a company, if you want to create a personal brand separate from the company, you know, you want to talk about you. The thing I would suggest first is, what is it that you want to talk about? And to me, you want to talk about the topics that are most beneficial to the audience that you want to attract. Mm-hmm. The secondary end of that is to be come up with topics that are beneficial to the people that the people listening to your podcast want to attract. So in other words, hi, potential customer B, I just want to tell you, I listened to this great podcast about packaging for Adam, where he was talking about, you know, sustainability. And I know you're really into that. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah.
That becomes a valuable tool.
OPN, other people's networks, is a huge component. It's such an underutilized aspect and such a great point. Sorry, I didn't mean to disrupt your flow.
No, it's okay because
it's intergalactic flow.
It's okay, but that is, you really have to come out of the self-serving space to see that, you know. Mm-hmm. So for a clearer example, if you're a printer, share information with your design customers about design, not about printing.
Yeah.
You know, introduce them to a really cool print designer or introduce them to someone who's doing origami, you know, or just something really cool, and have those end users think of you as a really cool resource for information.
Yeah.
And then again, as I said in the beginning of this podcast, To me, a sale is when a need and a relationship meet. If you're feeding the relationship part, if you're feeding the education part, when they have a need, I know as a print customer, I want to work with the people who teach me things, but don't harass me about things, you know? And then, because I also feel more comfortable. I feel more comfortable asking questions. I feel more comfortable, like, because I can reference something. In this particular piece of content, you said this, can you elaborate a little more? Mm. Or I came to your webinar and I don't understand this one point. So it's easier to open up a dialogue. And I say that because, and again, I'm not trying to generalize, but the younger end of the millennials and the Gen Zers who are now working, entering the workforce, they don't necessarily like talking to people, you know, face to face or even on Zoom, but they prefer, you know, written communication or listening to it or engaging on social media, asking a question there, even if it's a private message. So I just think you need to understand what your motivation is, what your goal is. And then if you, and authentically, like, you're never going to hear me talking about how a press works. I mean, I think half my audience would be like, who is that on that podcast? Because it's right. It's not Deborah Korn. I think if your ultimate goal is truly serving the audience and you have an authentic topic and you have some knowledge or you know people who have some knowledge like I do, I don't know. Mostly, I don't know a lot of anything about the printing industry, but you know what I do know? All the people who do know everything about it. And that's why I have a podcast. I bring them in and say, tell everybody about this new trend with QR codes and interactive packaging. And, you know, you mentioned it before, direct mail is 100% having a resurgence. But if everyone's doing the same postcard, how do we elevate that? How do we take that to the next level? And that's where interesting conversations can come in. Personal brand comes into that too.
Yeah, no, that is, it's, I mean, I obviously think you're spot on. And the other thing that I would just add on, tack on to the end of that is it's not a quick game. There is no way to, there are things that you can do, but I'm sure it's the same way for you. This has been 6 years now in the making. I mean, 6 years ago is when I said, I'm going to learn everything I can about LinkedIn, not thinking I was going to start a podcast,
right?
Not thinking I would be, you know, hosting things on Clubhouse and, you know, doing all of this stuff. I didn't know about any of that stuff, but I did know that I saw what was happening on LinkedIn and I said, I need to learn all about this. And I dove in, I learned, and I posted a bunch of stuff that nobody cared about. Nobody, and it was, you know, might not have been very good. I've written articles that like five people read, right? And I think a lot of people give up. They're like, well, this personal branding crap doesn't work because we're such a, I go online, I order something, it shows up at my house. Mm-hmm. You can't do that with authenticity. You can't do that with trust. You can't do that relationships, and you can't do that with personal branding. There's no way. And I think with corporations, it's so important for them to recognize that this is not a, you know, you tell somebody to go on to start a podcast and all of a sudden you have $1 million coming in. That's not how it works. It is a slow grind. It's a crock pot. It's not a microwave, right? You got to turn it on and you got to let it simmer and you can't maybe see what's going on until 4, 5, 6, 10, 15, you know, what is this going to be like for us in 20 years? Yeah. You know what I mean? Because there are people who in 10 years will finally be like, oh, maybe there is something to this. And you and I are going to be going,
yes,
you and I are going to be going, we've been here for a decade or longer. Yes. And we're already out here. And so I'm very bullish on the fact that people will always want to connect with people. Not necessarily with corporations, but corporations can empower their people to inspire and change and cultivate, which is why I think you and I are also, that principle I think is what also brings us together on issues like, you know, diversity, equality, and inclusion initiatives, because we're saying it's not just about the same people saying the same things. It's about bringing in all sorts of voices into your company and then empowering those voices to go out and share and gain traction. And they go, well, yeah, but what if they leave? And it's like, yeah, but what if you treat them like a number and they stick around? Isn't that miserable? Like, why don't you want to have engaged people who are putting in the work and creating cool content and bringing in all this valuable life perspective that you never would have gained if all you did was just hire all your buddies from the country club? So, I think that all of this stuff kind of goes together and is critically important. So last question, and I want to give you a chance to talk about all the rad stuff that you're doing in terms of just either print initiatives and virtual trade shows. And obviously we've talked about your podcast and your website, and you've got some other, you know, kind of cool altruistic things going on. So I want you to plug away. This is Deborah's time to sell. No, you don't have to sell, but I just want people to be aware of all the rad stuff that you got going on, 'cause I don't think everybody knows about it.
Well, I really appreciate that. And just to say something about your last comment, I truly believe an audience is built one person at a time. And I just focus on that next person who might be interested in anything I have to say or anything I'm putting out into the world. And I'm not looking for 1,000 people. You know, they come one at a time. And as long as I serve them, they will continue to come and they will tell somebody else about it. And that's pretty much how I have, managed to get to this space. As far as, you know, everything I do, I would just want to say the easiest thing to do is go to Print Media Center, CENTR.com. And just because it says, you know, experience the Printiverse, where it does explain some of the initiatives I'm involved in. But the thing that is currently going on right now is an initiative I call Project Peacock, which was started in 2017 as an in-house roadshow to brands and agencies to show them the cool things you can do with print, because they got left far behind when the print industry kind of shifted from offset to digital printing. You know, they spent a lot of time talking to themselves, but no one was talking to the end users about what was possible in the world. And, you know, back to, you know, my origin, I was like, excuse me, no one knows that this exists. You know, you're talking about inkjet, but every time I talk to a brand, they're asking me why I'm talking to them about the printer, desktop printer, you know, in their office. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody knows what's going on. So Project Peacock is currently a platform. It was in-house agency visits. Then it was print fairs in 5 different cities in 2019. We had our Corona year, but I didn't want it to not happen this year. So I created a platform. So on the platform, I kind of frame it around get intel, get samples, and get partners. Don't search Google, search Peacock. A lot of the print customers have, you know, they're not in their office. They're, you know, maybe don't have access to their buying systems, or for whatever reason, I was talking to them and finding that a lot of people were searching for research resources on Google. Now, I'm not saying they're going to get bad resources, but I don't think the print industry really wants people with $120 million budgets asking Mr. Google how, you know, to help them find a product, partner. No. Or asking it, you know, what are the trends in direct mail? Because here's a little tip. Google is going to give you the most popular result, which could be from 2015. You know, it's not really going to help anybody. So Project Peacock is now a resource platform. It's open 24/7. We also have online networking and education events. The next one coming up is actually July 15th. It's Project Peacock Packaging. So couldn't be better timing. I appreciate so much. You're actually going to be doing a session there.
Yeah.
Fortis has a booth on the platform. And again, if you just go to printmediacenter.com, you could register and find out everything from there. One other thing I want to mention, I mean, I co-host a weekly print chat on Twitter called Print Chat. It's put almost 2 billion impressions about print into what I call the Printiverse since 2014, when we could start tracking hashtags. But we actually started, I actually took over from Quad this hosting in 2011. And except for holidays, we do it weekly. Girls Who Print is my initiative to help empower women, the women of print. We do that through education, we do that through networking, and we do that through a really successful mentorship program. We have a women's only LinkedIn group. There's almost 8,000 global members in it now. And I'm really proud. There's actually Girls Who Print podcasts. I'm really proud of everything that I've accomplished there. And now I'm girl number one. Kelly Malazzi is girl number two. And Sherry Robertson is now girl number three. So we're growing our little Girls Who Print army there as far as leadership. And also, I'm trying to develop something I could pass to the next person. You know, I'm not going to be doing this forever. And I want to grow, you know, the next generation of leaders for the industry. The last thing I really want to mention, besides International Print Day, which I don't know if I told you, I started an international holiday, but I did. It was actually recognized by the United Nations. It's very odd, but International Print Day is 24 hours.
Casually drop that. Like, I just started one.
I know, because it's really, I laugh every time I think of it, but it is actually celebrated, on every continent but Antarctica. And I guess if I can teach the penguins how to tweet, we can get that going. But, it's, again, you could learn about that on the website. But the really last thing I want to talk about is something that you and I have in common, which is my Elevate Print initiative, which is raise your game, raise the industry. And it is tied into everything about business growth, industry sustainability, workforce development, how that is tied to diversity, equality, and inclusion, and how important it is, just like you said, to get out of this echo chamber of the same people saying the same things and the same type of people, being on panels and being on covers of magazines. I'm not saying any of these people do not have value. I'm not. But I can tell you that I've heard from these people, the same people, year after year after year after year. And I think that I'm very fortunate that I now am in a position where tactfully I can request, can we get a little deeper in your bench? You know, do you have someone else we can, speak with? Again, being very tactful about it, because, somebody shouldn't be disqualified, from speaking, or just because of, maybe they're a white person or a gentleman, the same reason that someone shouldn't be disqualified if they're not that,
Right.
So what I learned is that it was really up to me to seek out people. They weren't necessarily going to come to me for many, many reasons. And, that's actually how we hooked up, because I knew that you were doing this already. You were seeking out new voices, and I wanted to work with you in some manner that somehow we could cross-pollinate and, make sure that these new voices got as much exposure as possible. At the end of the day, of all the women, minority, and Black business owners I've spoken to since last year, I think the consensus is the best way we can help them is actually to help them get business. Yeah. And the best way I can do that is to give more visibility, more exposure, more reach and awareness. And then I just stay out of the conversations that open up doors to points of view that I don't want to be part of, but if I keep it in a business conversation, I think it makes more sense to everybody why it's so important. And especially, again, I'm sorry, I got to go back to my Gen Zers, who I love more than anything, in the younger end of the millennials. They are literally intolerant to intolerance, and so are the brands. So if you're working, if brands or agencies are out there making statements about, how they feel about social issues, and their vendors are not mirroring that, that relationship is going to be severed. So again, business relationship, but it's based in authenticity and walking the walk. You know, it happens to be June right now. It's Pride Month. We see a lot of logos, rainbow logos all over the world. That's great. That's, you know, certainly 5 years ago, that wouldn't have happened. But what are they doing every other month of the year? You know, that is what the Gen Zs and the millennials are watching. So, you know, do what you need to do to bring these voices in, but just make sure that it's really an authentic thing that you want to do for your company, for your growth, for whatever it, you know, end goal you have in mind, but you can't just do it as a trend and then not do it. You'll get blasted for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And kudos to you for ensuring that this podcast episode drops in the month of June. So well done, Dev.
I really, you are
a true professional by just time stamping it. You're like, you know what? I know how this works. it's such a great point. I mean, all of your points were so valuable. You know, don't search Google, search Peacock. If you're looking for some cool, innovative printing, everybody go to Print Media Center, which is spelled CNTR.com. I'll have that.
CENTR.
Oh, I'm just sorry.
No, it's okay. It's just missing the E at the end.
That's right. C-E-N. Okay. My mistake. C-E-N-T-R. I'll make sure that the link is in the show notes and everyone can click it. And then also on LinkedIn when this goes live. I love the work that you're doing, and you're just going to continue to do it. And I'm happy to even just be in the same orbit in the intergalactic sphere where you are. So thanks for coming on the podcast and for just sharing so many incredible truths with us and the things that you're passionate about. I'm happy to have been able to interview you. It's like you said, you don't get interviewed all that often, and you should be. You're just an amazing resource for the world. So appreciate it, Deborah.
Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. And like I said, you showed me the way in a lot of ways about what I could do to have some impact in the elevating voices space. And I just really do appreciate that. And everyone should visit Fortis on the Project Peacock platform. As long as you're in there, I'll give you a plug since you haven't had any plugs today. Thank you so much again.
Thanks, Deborah.
Please make sure that you like, share, subscribe. Let's spread the good news and the joy that packaging can be in the world. You can find this podcast anywhere that you listen to podcasts. We appreciate the ratings and the comments and the sharing. It's only going to keep getting bigger because packaging is awesome.